Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies joins us just about every Wednesday, and here he is. Good morning.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing good. wanted to ask you about the leave pickup, because I know round two is underway, but it looks like there's a lot of big piles of frozen leaves out there.
Yeah. So leaf pickup isn't the exact science. Mother Nature always throws wrenches into the gears, and particularly last year when we made the switch back to using the Vactor trucks, we had some issues with some early snow that froze some of the leaves to the ground. Fortunately, it did thaw up, and we were able to get those trucks out there. Now we are still using the Vactor trucks. We do have, in some cases, up in the heights, we do push some of the leaf piles together. And in a lot of areas, I know we just started the second round, I believe, Monday. And they've been going through the, you know, starting at opposite ends of the city, on the north and south side of Michigan Ave, and they've been using some of the big collector vehicles to get some of the big piles, and then coming back through and using the Vactor trucks to suck up some of the little leaves. So it's been going good. I saw them come through my neighborhood and for the second round. So it's underway. Mm-hmm. Weather does kind of harm some of the progress, but we are confident that we're going to get through, and we've got a lot of great reviews about leaf pickup this year, and it's certainly a lot easier than putting it into bags, that's for sure.
Yeah, a couple good weather days so that they should be able to catch up probably.
Yeah, they you know, the DPW workers work hard, and you know, it's another positive is that, you know, we own the vehicles ourselves. So, you know, we're not under the gun of any sort of schedule by a contractor. We can continue through and continue mm-hmm. through into next year if necessary. But our schedule right now is to go through mid-December. And we have those trucks for spring cleaning if necessary. And, you know, we got the new DPW site open, so they're going to be, those trucks are going to be stored and well-maintained by the DPW crew.
Hey, we just had the story, Derek, of the Urban Core mayors seeking some money due to lack of tax money coming in. It's something you've talked about a number of times.
Yeah, you know, more we've gotten some CDBG CV resources coming in from the federal government. I'm confident that now that we're beyond a divisive election, we're going to be hopefully narrowing our sights back on what we can do to help communities like Jackson recover from the coronavirus. But we're also pretty aware of, in addition to just additional revenue and resources coming from state and federal actors, we're pretty cognizant of the effect that some of the decisions not only shut down some of the local businesses and the effect that can have on property values, but the effect that the stay-at-home orders, the fact that a lot of people started working from home, and now businesses have adjusted to their employees actually working remotely, that effect will have on our local income tax revenue. You know, we get a large portion of our general fund dollars every year from income taxes. We have a 1% income tax in the city of Jackson. Mm-hmm. Raises about anywhere from $9.5 to $10 million a year into our general fund, which is about $27 million a year. So Marty Griffin, the city treasurer, has anticipated that we also collect 5%, 1% on city resident income taxes, 5% or half a percent on any individuals that don't live in the city but come in to work in the city. And if you think of all of the large businesses that we, commercial buildings that we have downtown, Consumers Energy in particular, a lot of employees that come into the city to work and then leave to go back into the suburbs to to their homes, that's a significant amount of revenue. We're forecasting about $7 million of lost revenue if something doesn't change to account for that that jarring of a change in terms of effect on our income taxes. So we're, you know, working with the Urban Core mayors, advocating for a couple of different changes, you know, changes to figuring out how we adjust for the income tax, figure out how we adjust for Headley and Proposal A to make sure that if property values take another dip, that cities like Jackson are more apt to recover because we're not constrained to the rate of inflation on recovering those property values. And also the Open Meetings Act was a topic of conversation and making sure that we're being safe as possible for our city staff in having digital meetings and the general public as well. So those are some of the topics that we talked about at Urban Core Mayors, some of the things that, WKHM covered and some of the things we're going to be taking to Senator Shirky and Representative Alexander later this week.
Well, let me see if I have this figured out. So if you, and let's use consumers just for an example. So if you work at consumers but are working at home, you don't have to pay the 0.5%?
Right, because the state allows you to allocate and pay only the amount of income taxes that you worked while in that municipality that day. So it doesn't allow the current state law doesn't allow municipalities to collect local income taxes from workers on days that they're not actually working in their employer's physical location. So we already have cases like that, and we make people prove that they weren't working because a lot of people will say, well, I wasn't working in the city of Jackson that day, and so they'll try to allocate. Now we go back and with City Treasurer Griffin, we'll make them show proof that, they weren't working in town that day. But
well, that would now be be a nightmare, wouldn't it?
It'd be a nightmare. Well, you know, it is a for the employee, that's a significant amount of savings if they can show that, you know, they were working out of the city that day. But in terms of city finances, you know, a $7 million hit would be a nightmare. It's about 70% of our income taxes that we take in every year. It's about, and $7 million of a $27 million general fund is about 25% of our general fund dollars. So you're talking about a substantial hit to city services. You know, and a large, overwhelming majority of our general fund goes to police and fire. So it's something that there's, I think, 24 other communities across Michigan, municipalities that have some level of income tax going into supporting city services. So it's something that the Urban Core Mayors and the Michigan Municipal League are very aware of, and a problem that we need the state legislature to help fix.
I would only assume you would be in favor of rewriting that law to
doing something, right?
You do the 0.5% on where your company is, not where your physical being is at working. You know, we could all be anywhere doing our job, but if our company's in the city, you should pay that tax.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of laws and regulations worth going through and revising. That's certainly one of them. We're not asking for anything drastic other than at the minimum figuring out how we, you know, stopgap some of that loss.
And, right.
You know, COVID changed a lot of different systems. It's I think changed our economy, changed the way that businesses are running and operating, and it's going to change the way too that governments run and operate. So I, you know, don't make any qualms about that. I know that's happening, but when city services and police and fire services are, you know, depending on that sort of income, that sort of jarring shock to the system is hard to adapt to for government that can't, because of the laws imposed on it by the state, can't change. You know,
and you're trying to get money from Lansing. They're trying to get it from Washington.
Well, and not necessarily money from Lansing. Yeah, money from Lansing direct would be good, but at least a legislative fix to say, okay, we're going to either keep everything as it was prior to, you know, March of 2020 for, you know, the foreseeable future, so that our communities aren't left, you know, holding the bag and decimated in terms of their general funds. So I think there's got to be some sort of legislative fix there to allow us to continue to have the resources necessary to continue on some of those essential local services that people rely on.
Okay, next meeting, Tuesday, you'll be looking at a couple more marijuana provisioning centers?
Yeah, a couple more phase ones. So we have a phase one where we've talked about the grow operation, a grow and processing operation on East Michigan Avenue from Objective. They are moving fast, filing for their phase one conditional approval. So they'll be able to go forward and start to redevelop the clear the site and then start to go forward with their planning process and their applications to the state. And then we had, back when we did the phase one license approval for Loom, which just opened up last Friday on West Michigan Ave and the Columbus Street project, which is going forward. I think you can see, people can probably see the elevator tower going up in there right now. There is another one coming at 156 Cooper. That's our third. That'll be our third license, unless council elects to expand those number of licenses in the future. But that'll be our third license going in at 156 Cooper, right where the old car rental place used to be there.
Yep.
Off Michigan Ave. Mm-hmm. And they got a great site plan. I think it'll help particularly with that as a gateway coming into downtown, and so they'll be applying for their phase one as well. And I think there's going to be some pictures and stuff in the packet about what that project will look like. So we're excited to move forward and, you know, again, during a pandemic, have more development coming into the city of Jackson.
Can you talk about the possible sale of the Vermeulen's building in Masonic?
Yeah, we're working on that. We actually got a lot of interest in the Masonic and the Vermeulen's. As you know, we were under a agreement with the Jackson School of the Arts, who for the Masonic Temple, they had some changes and obviously were affected by COVID. So we want to be good community partners and work with them to find a potential solution that continues to allow them to come downtown at a you know, scale that's reasonable within this time during COVID. And we have some other developers that are interested in the Masonic and Vermeulen's projects as well. So those conversations are currently underway. I anticipate that there'll be some purchase agreements coming up here in front of city council for their consideration. And I think the Masonic, we got a lot of interest in the Masonic contributing to something in the food industry, some sort of either grocery operation or a small business incubator. Mm-hmm. And that's exciting. That's exciting. You know, we got a lot of small businesses coming into the city, coming into downtown. And we've been working pretty closely with the NAACP, with Lean Rocket Lab on what we can do to kind of expand their operations, support minority-owned businesses, and really accelerate the entrepreneurial spirit that's really blossoming here in the city of Jackson.
So is it fair to say the School of Arts would be out of the Masonic building?
Yeah, I think currently right now they're looking at an option over in the Vermillion's building. It's, you know, still a pretty big space, so more space than they would have now, and then would allow the the city and the School of the Arts to kind of collaborate on the first floor on some incubating a public kitchen and incubating some sort of public cafe. So I think that's a really great opportunity, but there's a couple other developments, and you know, a lot of it's developing in real time. I'm having a meeting with some of the developers later this afternoon to see what their plans are, and I think we'll be bringing something to council to move both of those projects forward. And it's another example of the energy that we have here in the city and the partnerships that we have with agents like the Chamber of Commerce and the Anchor Initiative, and the work that Scott Fleming has been doing has been pretty phenomenal in helping to move those projects forward and locate new developments into the downtown loop there.
So next Tuesday, last meeting of the year?
Last meeting of the year, yep. We'll put a pause on the greatest show in town and hit back in 2021. And, you know, I'm sure we'll be talking more before then, but, you know, we hope everyone can continue to be safe and practice social distancing and wear a mask and help us really get through the holiday season safely as we see, you know, spikes in COVID. So hopefully everyone can continue to do their part to help keep us safe.
No, this show never ends, Derek.
That's how I feel.
Hey, thanks for the visit.
Hey, thanks, Greg.